Hey everyone, this is Dina Jones, one of the founders of Joe Bean Roasters. At Joe Bean, our mission, Coffee That Lifts Everyone, is about giving selling power back to coffee farmers, as well as purchasing power into the hands of our customers. Through our network of farmers, we're able to bring you naturally grown, amazing coffee directly. Our long-term farming partners negotiate pricing based on cost of production, as well as quality of product, not on fluctuating, unpredictable market prices. This enables them to create thriving businesses with bright futures. And our customers get empowered knowing exactly who grows their coffee and how, as well as knowing they are a part of a new, sustainable, global coffee network. To try our coffee, go to JoeBeanRoasters.com and be sure to check out our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription to receive a rotating selection of single-origin coffee delivered right to your door. Thank you to all our Rochester friends who have supported us and our farming partners so wonderfully over the years. You are making a difference with every bag.
This is Evan Dawson. If you like conversations that take you beyond the headlines, join me on Connections. Every day, we dig into the issues shaping Rochester with the people living them, researching them, even trying to change them. No hot takes, no shouting most of the time. Just real conversations to keep you involved in your community. Listen to Connections wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, hello and welcome to the Anomaly Presents podcast, the podcast about the genre movies that inspired a genre film festival. That's the Anomaly Film Festival coming back to you in 2026 for dates that I don't remember yet because we have just decided on them very recently.
I have them. The 11th to the 15th.
Meg.
Yay, I'm useful.
November 11th to the 15th. We did it. So, yeah, join us November 11th through the 15th in beautiful Rochester, New York at the Little Theater and the Dryden Theater and other places we may determine later down the road. We are going into year 8. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to my bones.
So yeah, this is where we are. So we have recently defrosted. We went into the deep freeze after the festival. This is our first show back, and we've made it thematically appropriate. But I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? Oh, he's rusty. So first, before we get into it, let me introduce our podcastronauts. I am so excited to be doing this again, y'all. Oh man. So let me introduce our podcastronauts. We'll start with the amazing, the talented Megan Murphy. That's you.
Yeah,
hi.
That's me. It me. We back.
And we'll go to the talented and amazing Kristen Pelk-Pacheco, KP. Hi.
Hi, everybody. I'm punching my time card in for our shift tonight. I'm ready.
Yeah. That's smooth, KP. Smooth.
Yep.
Like the Chilean miners. No, we are actually going into it. It's my bim bam joke. Anyway, yeah. So it is My Bloody Valentine. Speaking of miners, we're going to talk about a lovely piece of Canucksploitation. I think I've seen it described.
Yeah. It's Canucksploitation.
1981's classic My Bloody Valentine, directed by George Mihalka, who did win the Lifetime Achievement Award at Fantasia, I think, last year. For his work in this, amongst many other Canadian genre classics. It's that old tale of man gets buried in a mine on Valentine's Day. The town ignores him because there's a Valentine's dance. So then he escapes from the mine, comes back and kills everybody in the town and tells them never to have a Valentine's dance again. And then 20 years later, they try to have the Valentine's dance again.
That's surely. Yeah, surely history will not repeat itself.
It's been 20 years. Who could remember after 20 years?
Too much.
Surely not the person we had committed for killing everyone. And yet. So where do we want to start with My Bloody Valentine?
It's very Canadian.
We start at the start. Accents.
Yeah.
They come and go a little bit sometimes.
They do. And that was the interesting piece about it, because it's sometimes Canadian and then sometimes Appalachian. Like, I couldn't get a beat if this was Nova Scotia or Allentown, most of it. Like, it was...
Well, I think the movie is not specifically set in Canada. They never say, like, besides Valentine's Bluff, which is a great name for a town, I think they're trying to be general enough so they could be a general release movie, you know? But I think the Canadian-ness lovingly seeps through. And it's just like, it was filmed in Nova Scotia in a real mine. So it, yeah. they were soaking in it.
They were picking it up.
Literally and figuratively.
The spirits yeah, and so of much the flannel. Past. Yeah the, yeah, the spirits of the past miners were coming through them to speak the Canadian ways. TJ's outfits, 10 out of 10. Lovely mask representation with his little slutty denim button up with the kerchief at the end.
Amazing.
There.
Amazing.
I do find there's not enough miners that wear ascots.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a thing. He is the one that left and went to the big city and came back. So I think that's to represent that sophisticated side of him was like, you know, a little just a little around the neck, a little flare.
He said, I'm showing up. I'm going to have a little bit unbuttoned. I'm going to show a little chest. And I'm going to get Sarah back. That was...
That's my plan, baby!
His shirt was buttoned lower than... I can't remember her name right now. Patty? The one where they're...
That sounds right, because you're talking...
Yeah,
where she's like, I have a little low-cut number I'm going to wear. And then it's like one of the most conservative dresses I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a mock turtleneck that she comes up with.
What is fun about this film as we're starting off is since it's kind of an earlier slasher, they're not teens, they're young adults, which is kind of like if you're talking like about the same time, Black Christmas and Halloween. Well, Halloween's more a teen, but like Black Christmas. Yeah. And what's the other one I'm thinking of? Well, now I'm blanking, but like it was more. Black Christmas. I keep saying that, and I'm done. Anyway, they're like young adults, right?
And then Black Christmas, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. But like, so this is some of the young adults, right? And this is before it kind of got down to characters you hate. These are like, oh no, they're working class. They're all basically where they're going to be for their whole life, except for TJ tried, right? That's part of the story. Yeah, and then, and I think we get this, I appreciate like this little love triangle we get because it gives us a little bit of like, oh no, like you left. You took off because you want a different life. You left your girl. She was like, well, I'm living here. How about this dude, Axel? And then, of course, you know, TJ comes back like, oh, I'll just go back to where I was. But, you know, things have changed, buddy.
Yeah, he really did try to just slip himself in there and not miss a beat. And I don't know that worked out for him.
Yeah. Well, so I like that that's in there besides just the murder. Like, there's also like, oh, no.
There's a little bit of that, you know, the soap opera element to it.
There's a few characters that you're like are there to pad the numbers, but then there's Hollis, which counts for five people.
He's my guy.
He's amazing.
Hollis was the best. Truly,
right?
I'm glad we all agree on this.
Yeah, he was. You know, again, like before, like characters we've come a little stereotyped. Like he's like the big dude, but he's not the joke dude. Right? He's kind of like the stand-up dude, and he's sweet. And he's kind of a badass there at the end. Took two nails to take him out. You know?
Yeah.
And that's like a complexity of character that you know, again, you like these characters. You're like, I don't remember all of them, but in general, I don't want them to die, which, you know, is cool for a slasher.
Except for Howard. I couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
Well,
he's the only exception to the rule.
TikTok
immediate
Howard.
Poochie vibes. Yeah. As soon as he showed up on screen, I was like, I can't wait for you to go back to your home planet. I'm done with you. You're annoying as shit.
And then they have the characters who were there the first time, 20 years ago, 1960 when it happened. So you have like, was it TJ's dad's the mayor, and you have the sheriff, and my favorite Mabel, a laundromat owner. I love her. I'm like,
poor
shit,
Mabel.
I'd be her.
What a death. My goodness.
I will say that he set a lot of stuff up. So now it weighs like, okay, I see the town. They're doing their best, but they're like the working class, right? They're minors. Like it's not the best, but like, they're doing what they can to like make community. And you got the young folks trying to figure it out. But then, of course, the past is never the past, is it?
Right. Exactly. And before we get further into the plot, I just want to say one of the things I love about this movie so much is that it feels so lived in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's something, it's a very late 70s, early 80s quality where, like, you're watching, you're like, oh no, this town exists. This is actually, you know,
that bar looks like a bar.
Everything is like dirty and old, kind of, which you would picture for like a small mining town, right? That's seems like maybe it's approaching the end of its.
Yeah.
Like it's past its heyday.
Yeah. The vehicles are like, those are like kind of older cars that you probably would be like, you know, I was able to buy this for cash because that's what you could afford.
Yeah. They're all put together with like Bondo and Hope. Yeah. It's got that. And I feel like that adds a weight to it. Like you want them to have this dance because it looks kind of like a bummer to live there. Like let's have some fun.
It's the one thing they have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the town's called Valentine Bluffs. Obviously, this was a big deal for them. Like, when you get footage of the 1960s dance, right, which apparently is a thing they did every year, it looks like it's the event of the year for this place. It is decorated up. There are cakes, multiple cakes that are shaped like hearts at this dance. They go all out. You know how good a dance it is? Let's say you're a mine supervisor and like you're supposed to check the methane level at the mine, but that might slow you down going to the dance. So not checking it once, that's not going to bite you in the ass. You and your buddy are just going to be at the dance drinking. No problems. Nothing's going to happen that will have
dire
repercussions 20 years later.
Relatively permanent repercussions.
That's how they used to party.
Mining parties don't stop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the lore. Like, small town, big event. You get the picture of everyone that lives in this town.
Yeah.
And who they are and how they're...
At first, they don't say. We know that it was banned for 20 years. And it's only later in a classic lore dump at the bar, which I love. I love, like, the bartender's like, listen, you have no idea why we don't do that. And we get to hear the story, the legend of Harry Warden. And how 20 years ago on Valentine's, there was a dance. And guess what? The supervisors didn't check the methane levels. And there were 5 miners down there. And they were trapped, and they dug them up. And 6 weeks later, they found one survivor, Harry Warden, who had survived by eating the other miners. So he took a little trip to the mental hospital, but apparently weren't able to hold him because he came back the next year and he killed those 2 supervisors. Dun dun dun!
By cutting their hearts out.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know what? Comparatively. A small spree. It was the 2 people that were like...
2.
I feel like it was pretty reasonable. Like if I had gone nuts 6 months in the dark eating my friends, I feel like maybe 2 wouldn't have satisfied me. But it felt like I was like, no. He went for those who were responsible. And then they took them back to the
Canadian
mental hospital.
Way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and I will say the drama of the hearts is great and how they kind of keep coming up in different places and like, the candy heart boxes.
Yeah.
The disgusting hot dog water.
We'll get to that. But I love the idea that he became a legend. Even though theoretically he had been taken away, the theory was he would still like haunt the streets on Valentine's. So no one cannot celebrate it. And it was only 20 years later that they felt perhaps there was a chance.
20 years feels like enough time where you're like, yes, right? The older people, you know, remember it, but the younger people, right? These people are in, they were probably
small children,
and they didn't live through it. So, right, it's a tall tale. It could never happen again. He's locked up.
Yeah. Exactly. He's a legend to them. The adults actually lived through it, but for our young folks now, it's a legend, and they just want to live their life before they hit middle age in this town and then really know that that's it. They're just looking for some hope and a dance. And I love that the town goes all out because it's like 20 years of pent up Valentine's energy. So the decorations, because it's like a street, right? They have banners across the street from one building to the other side, multiple bunting banners, paper hearts everywhere, lace. Up the ass. It's everywhere.
You know it's serious business when the laundromat is decorated.
Oh, Well, I just feel like Mabel in my heart, like, is really like the artistic director of Valentine's in that town. Like, I could tell that all comes from her. A lot of that is her own cutting. Like, she cut out those hearts. I could tell. Like, that's, you know, she's the spinster. That's her. Yeah. She's like, No, this is what I'm here to do. This is how I'm going to bring joy back to this town. Decorations.
You know, year 19 and 18, she was like, you sure we can't just maybe go? Because that last one, I know what happened in, 2 years ago, but like that last one was like really fun. Can we maybe?
She's just been, and she's over the past maybe 15 years working on decorations. She has them all.
Like, yes! She had these ready to go. She, 20 years of paper craft just pent up. I love Mabel so much.
Sewing bunting for 15 years.
Yeah. But of course, the past isn't done. And somebody has come back in the full minor gear that Harry Warren wore, which is so iconic because it's got the big goggly eyes, the little mask thing, and the overalls. So it's like simple, but just enough. Like, you can just read enough of a face. And
you're getting like the heavy breaths, right? Which then is creating that fear. It's all black. And then there's nothing like a bright light in your face, right? Where they can see you and you can't see a darn thing. So it's peak design. Like for a slasher.
But I also like too is like, but it also in a way doesn't stand out because it's a mining town. So anyone dressed as a miner could also be like the killer because like everyone has that. They're everywhere. They're those outfits are everywhere, which is a fun little bit. You know, it's the town itself is kind of the killer. I mean, there's actual killer, everybody. It's not supernatural, but there's that feeling of the sins of the father in overalls.
Yeah.
So, of course, somebody's upset. Maybe it's Harry. We don't know. But
could be Harry. Yeah, they really don't. I'm trying to think they kind of play around. I mean, it's kind of into Harry, right? Through most of it.
Yeah, it's 100% on Harry the whole time.
Yeah, they don't give us a couple red herrings or anything or extra. Yeah. Like, I can't go through, like, say, like either the grown ass adults or the young adults, I don't think any of them are ever given the like maybe. Mainly, it's like it's probably Harry.
I don't remember any misdirects. It was pretty much as soon as they realized there was somebody killing people, it was immediately, it's Harry,
the guy who did it before.
It's definitely the guy that did it before.
Yeah, and I know that there is a kill fairly early with underground, but I think the one that we really know. Shit's kicked off is Mabel.
Poor Mabel. Yeah, because you do get the kill, like, in the cold open, which...
Yeah.
I never quite got a finger on how that worked.
Yeah, like, I think it's just supposed to get your attention, because I'm like, who, why, what?
Yeah, just nameless... Yeah.
I think he was just warming up. He didn't want it super public, because it'd be embarrassing if he screwed it up. So I think that was I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I don't know. And then was ready for Mabel because that was going to be the big public unveiling. So she is both killed, but like that's not the most gruesome part. It's the I'm going to tell you that this movie has some fantastic visuals and some gory kills. So it's the next morning. She works at the laundromat, if we said, right? There's all sorts of machines there, right? And I think the sheriff who finds her in the dryer's going. Thunk, the thunk, the thunk, squelch, thunk.
There's two dryers going, which is so brilliant. There's two dryers going.
And he's like, it smells, right? He's like, oh, it kind of smells in here. What is that?
And unfortunately, it's what's left of Mabel. She's a little roasty. You know what? I would say like a hot dog, but we have a much more specific hot dog kill later, oddly enough. Yeah.
An oddly hot dog-centric film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So does that make it Canadian? I don't know. Sausages. But I was like, oh, damn it. And what's interesting about this film is it was censored fairly heavily when it first came out. It's only last like decade or so that there has been several like reconstructions because they were able to save the footage. It came right after like when when Friday the 13th came out, there was quite a bit of uproar. Like, oh my God, these kills. So there was a period of time when some slashers came out right after it where they got extra censored, like super extra censored. So they said they had to keep going back to the MPAA a couple times and to keep taking like 30 seconds out of the kills. So it's only recently that they've got put back in. So the blood we see now, thanks for the restorers, because a lot of them got cut shorter and you just saw like, oh, something happened. Instead of like, oh, there you go. There goes that eyeball. There you go. Or, oh, God, roasty toasty. Thanks, restorers. Somebody put a lot of work into this and it shows.
It really is artfully done for 1981, the gore effects. Top notch.
Yeah. Yeah, they stick with you. All right. So now it's kind of, now it's kicked off and the mayor's like, hey, let's not do a dance. You know what? We pushed it. We, you know, we got a little cocky. Maybe no. Maybe no, right?
Does he get a letter?
Oh, is that and what then a heart in a box.
He gets the heart in the box in the beginning, right? He gets the girl who got killed.
Yeah.
And that was the first one. And he's like, okay. And then Mabel gets like a little note.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah. Also, what did Mabel do but decorate? Son of a penny. I'm fine.
She's too passionate.
She's too passionate.
Locked in.
The world doesn't
want to
see you shine.
The Level Up Coffee podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunchador Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts, and stay
dialed in.
Hey everybody, it's Matt from the Anomaly Presents podcast. I want to take a moment to tell you about one of my favorite podcasts on the Lunchador Podcast Network. It's Common Thread. Rory Van Grohl and Greg Benoit talk with their guests about how the values, philosophies, and sense of community found in hardcore punk has influenced the trajectory of their lived experiences in unexpected ways. It features organic discussions that illuminate how hardcore punk is the common thread that provides continuity throughout our lives and connects us to one another. It's Common Thread on the Lunchdoor Podcast Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, yeah, so the mayor's like, hey, let's not. But of course, they're not kids. They're young adults. But still, they're like, oh, man, well, this is the most brilliant choice. And by brilliant, I mean not. Hey, we'll do our own dance. How about in a mine? That's great. You know what? We're doing our own thing in a mine.
It really was a choice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No one will be there. Everyone will be home.
Yeah. I feel like there's other places you can bone. I understand what this party's for. I get it. But like, yeah, a basement. Somebody's apart. You're adults. Some of you have places you live, not with your parents.
I mean, but there were also giant land yacht cars, if you're really hurting.
Yeah, just park them all together in like a caravan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're like, we need a kitchen. We need bathrooms. We need very unsafe places to get down.
Because this is what blew my mind about that party is it's like a church potluck.
Yeah.
Like, they came in with the cases of Moosehead beer, which, by the way, the most Canadian thing about this movie is that Moosehead beer. I don't know if any of you have partaken in Moosehead beer.
No.
Don't run out and grab any. It's challenging.
We love you, Canada. Matt's opinions are his own.
No, I'll run out and go get some Tim Hortons.
Yeah, I'm going to get a double-double and some Timbits. Yeah,
if you want to get a 2-4 Molson's, that's fine. But, Moosehead is,
I'll go put on Heated Rivalry again. That's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll respect and celebrate Canada in our own way. That is not Moosehead.
Salute. Salute to those young Canadian men and their friends.
And their friends.
Yeah. It's about international relations. Wink.
Yeah. So they're in the mess hall at the mine, right? God.
What kills me is there is a girl. There's one woman. I don't see her paired with anybody else. This would have been me at the function. She comes out of the kitchen with like 4 hot dogs. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm like, this would be me. Where I'm like, food.
Though it's wild is we know they were boiled hot dogs. Why do we know this? One of the other fun kills is they have this giant pot of just hot dog, gray hot dogs boiling away. And this dude whose name I don't remember, I think he's hot dog face now, because his kill is getting hot dog watered. Hot dog water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets boiled a lot.
Bobbing for hot dogs.
Yeah, but he's interesting because he's explaining about how he wants to get out of the town. Like,
yeah.
Kind of furthering that whole, like, no escape feeling. Yeah. And then just a face full of hot dog boiled water.
Hey, everybody, your hot dogs and your face deserve better. If you had just perhaps made them in a pan or got a roller, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But no, they disrespected those hot dogs, plunged them into that gray water. Boom. Now your body is in a freeze.
His name is Dave, because they just kept saying, Dave.
Oh, that's right, I'm never going to remember Dave. Apology to Dave's out there.
Oh, Dave.
So sorry.
Sucks,
it's just
sucks for Dave.
It's just because she kept yelling his name over and over again, and it just clicked. Yeah. Like, Dave and Sylvia. Like, at the... Because I think we see an old guy go into the mines.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's
the mine guard, right? He's the one who's setting up a joke where he's setting up a fake miner who's going to come and hack at the door, and he keeps testing it out because he thinks it's hilarious. So he opens his door. Fake little miner pick comes down. He opens the door. Fake little miner picks up. And then, like, perfect timing. The last time he opens that door, turns out there's the killer. And that's when he gets the ice pick. I think it's through his mouth and up through the eye.
The cool eyeball situation.
I feel like he was having a good time up until that last time. He thought it was the best thing he'd ever done, the best prank. Those kids were going to crap their pants. So up until, so he smiled as he opened that door for the very last time.
Yeah.
He died doing what he loved.
He did.
And who among us?
And I respect that. And then at the same time, hot dog boy's getting boiled alive, like right after that.
Yeah, let me see.
There's a couple. Sylvia. Okay. Yeah, Sylvia, and I can't remember who her man is, but they go to have some fun.
Oh, is that the one where they're
time.
Ahead of time?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
but then I do have the right one written down. I'd forgotten.
The shower room
was wild.
Don't get down in a mine. It's gross down there. It's gross. And then what happens sometimes is you get like you get separated from your guy, and then somebody kills you by picking you up and then jamming your entire back of your head onto like the nozzle for a shower, like an industrial shower. And then the water comes out your mouth when your guy finds you, and that's just rude.
Yeah. Yep.
And effective. What a kill.
Which is also a mirror to earlier in the movie, because he kissed her by picking her up by the head, which, why would you kiss somebody like that?
Instant red flag. This feels like a murder that's about to happen. I'm going to be honest. Maybe it's the media I consume, but no.
Childhood trauma. I had a neck injury, and that's how my pediatrician fixed it.
Like a chiropractor, like that just...
I was wrestling with a friend and it screwed up my neck, and my pediatrician, who I think was 140 years old at the moment, picked me up by the sides of my head, lifted me, and then just shook me out over the table. He's just like, whoop, poop. I am amazed I lived.
Before we get farther, I think it's important to mention a little bit of the love triangle, because I think that is going to come up a bit.
Yep.
In that, like, and Sarah, oh God, I forgot her name. I feel bad that I forgot her name.
Her name is Sarah. So it's
but
TJ,
I feel like TJ
Sarah,
and Axel
and
also
Axel.
Forgot the, her name. Because Sarah, at a certain point, is sick of both of their shit. You know, she has a thing where TJ basically kidnaps her for a while and takes her out and basically says, I screwed up. I was feeling bad. That's why I didn't contact you. And then Axel's been kind of weird and overprotective. And at the party, she's like, hey, guess what? I'm sick of your shit. And also, I'm sick of your shit. Like, she's very much like, I'm kind of done with both of this, you know, which good for her, because this was kind of ridiculous. But it is going to come to a head again as folks realize stuff is happening. Oh, wait, people went down because before they know if people are being killed, four of them, including Hollis, decide, you know what we should do? Also go in the mine. I'll give you a tour.
They did. TJ and Axel get into a fist fight over it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hollis throws Axel out and is like, go cool off. And he just overacts that. It's very silly. Where,
is
like,
that
he
when he goes out and opens the beer? Slams the door.
Opens the beer. Yep.
finds a corner to, like, cry in, which, fair enough, bud. That was right. Yeah, he's having a time. Axel's having a time. Oh, right, because then Jessica goes with Hollis and the other two into the mines.
And then they go play Donkey Kong. They go live Donkey Kong Adventure on the mine cart, right?
Like a little tour. And it's only after they're gone that not only did that guy get killed in hot dog water, and but we find out later his heart is in there too, and it's the same gray as the hot dogs. Don't boil hearts either, everybody. Doesn't look yummy.
And that girl was back for more hot dogs after the three or four she had.
That's why
this is what I wanted to say. They boiled that boy's head for who knows how long, and then people went back for seconds and thirds on those hot dogs. Oh. They had eyeball dog water.
Do you think they tasted better? They're like, I don't know what happened, but yo.
They're getting more iron. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Like,
are these still those Oscar Mayers? Because these really, these are fancy. What happened here?
And I think at the same time, the sheriff, he doesn't find a candy box with a heart in it because dogs did already. He's going outside the office and there's dogs eating a human heart out of a candy box. So he's like, oh, yeah, I guess something's up.
Yeah, because he had called, and I can't remember when, he had called to confirm. Hey,
where's Harry? Yeah.
Where's Harry? Did he break out? And then it's around at that point where he finds out, oh, Harry Warden's been dead for 5 years. Who could the killer be?
Yeah. Well, they're we have no records, so he's either dead, escaped, or transferred. That's the information this woman gives. She's like, not our problem anymore, basically.
All I know is he's not here. Bye.
He's not here. Bye.
Lose my number. Lose my number. Don't call back here.
She was not impressed. Sucks to be you.
Good luck. Happy Valentine's Day.
Because I think at this point it could still be Harry. We just don't know. Right?
Oh, right.
Like,
okay.
We're
still functioning under the assumption it's Harry.
Yeah.
Because why would we think
anything
else?
Spoiler alert. Hey, y'all, don't listen to this podcast anymore if we haven't hinted at it. I just feel like, you know. But yeah, so then they start discovering. Is that that point of the film where, like, the bodies get found?
Yeah, both Sylvia and our boy Dave get found and everyone's screaming, and so Axel or TJ tries to call on the phone. Yeah. Phone line's dead because this is a horror movie before cell phones. And him and Axel basically say, everyone get out of here, go tell the sheriff, you know.
Yeah. We're gonna bro this. Jessica.
We're gonna bro this and go save the girls and Hollis.
And Hollis.
Forget about Howard. Howard is just there.
Howard's
just there. Yeah, that's good. We find him later, but no one seems too worried about where he went. So
no, because he ran off. That was
He just he bolted.
They were like, he's
right.
He's a wuss.
They didn't.
He was a coward. He left the girls, and so they kind of wrote him off.
So like the last part of the film, I love is all in the mine, which I think is just a great setting. They filmed it in a real mine. Like they had just been like shut down, abandoned. Apparently they had to dirty it up because it was actually a much cleaner situation, like as a functioning mine. So they had to spend like something like thousands of dollars to make it look crappy, to make it look like super old, which I love. But they also, that's part of the reason I think it's really effective lighting is that that was the lighting they could use. There really was concern about gas down there. So they could not bring heavy duty lighting down there because let's not blow up the film. And they had to go up and down on the elevators, like with all the equipment. And apparently it was freezing down there. So not fun to shoot, but I think you can tell, like, because this is like this real mine, it has that look. It feels very like, it feels real. Like, I don't want to be down there. I wouldn't want to be down there.
No.
And so it's, so it's a great setup there where it's like, uh-oh, here's the end. Who's going to make it? Not Hollis. And I'm upset about
Hollis.
It.
Hollis. This is the thing. Hollis, the strongest, the nicest,
the most handsome, the most intelligent,
the most Canadian of all of them.
He had the charm that like nobody else did.
Well, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Neither TJ nor Axel. I'm like, Jessica, wrong dude, but Hollis was taken. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Real Dan Haggerty type. Like, yeah, he's great.
And they realize they have to get out because he stumbles upon that couple that's been murdered. Right?
Oh,
there's
the
another
one with
couple
the drill
down
through
there.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bravo. Yeah, yeah.
And
together
then he's like,
forever.
Oh, crap.
That's another goodie.
We got to get out of here. And then runs
power bolts. Yep.
Yeah.
And then our boy Hollis takes a nail gun to the face twice.
Yeah, like first one doesn't take him down, though. That's how much of a bro, a dude this guy was. One, and he was still like, I'll take him out. It took two. Godspeed, Hollis.
Yep,
and then
he
I know his
back.
I know his girlfriend got the like pickaxe through.
Well,
like, yeah.
First,
I forget
then,
what came.
Then
yeah.
They sync back up with TJ and Axel, and
yes,
then they
yes,
find
yes.
out that they can't get back up the elevator because the power is
no
cut off.
It's all broken. What happened? Yep, yep.
The
so
only
like,
way back up is
up
a ladder,
yeah.
And Patty needed to put a sock in it and suck it up, but she
didn't have the shoes for it.
Oh yeah, and
didn't
Sarah,
have the shoes. Scared
Axel,
of heights.
Axel's just like. You know, he's just up there, yeah. And Patty is just spiraling to the point where Sarah's like, knock it off.
But you know what? It's fine, because they abandon the ladder when Howard's body falls down, hanging, and to the point where the rope pops his head off.
Yep, and they get splattered in blood.
Yeah, A+. Which, like... An additional, yeah, right, like, oh, the normal, like, ha ha ha, the body's hung. No, his entire head pops off. So it really, well, the head stays.
Yeah,
the body falls.
It bounces.
I want to explain this correctly.
Should be halfway up. So,
yeah, I don't know why they.
I don't know why they stopped. TJ was back down. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, because I'd understand if Axel said something, but it was TJ, right?
It was.
Well, why would you expect that from Axel?
I don't know.
There's
that's a weird
Axel.
Thing for me to say right now. So if they're next, yeah.
I say something like that. No reason at all.
So now they're like the only
He's
way
just
is.
Suspicious.
Yeah,
He's suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to take the mine cart. They're like, okay, no elevator. We can't climb up. We'll take the kind of long, slow, like mine carts. That's their only hope.
And
but then that's when they
back.
Lose Axel. Because they're walking across this water and they hear a yell and a splash. And then TJ's like, he's done for. Which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
They don't
TJ
even reach
even
a hand
like half
in.
A beat. Yeah.
Oops. My romantic
like,
rival.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Sarah, don't worry about it. I'll take
yeah,
you in my strong arms.
Yeah.
You don't
he
have to worry
wanted,
about him anymore.
He always wanted to float face down in the mine. That's how he wanted to go.
It's 60 feet deep. He's got no chance. And there's just bubbles.
Yeah, that's it. Well, can't see him.
He's
dead.
Hey, he's gone. Sorry.
So they move
Whoops.
On. That's why
they
like,
move
okay.
on quickly.
Yeah,
but I can't. Then that's when I think things get a little fuzzy again for me.
Well,
it's...
they lost TJ because they're like. So we've got Jessica and Patty, right? And they're moving
Sarah?
Ahead, and then behind them they also hear a noise, and TJ's gone.
Yeah,
because they lose
this
him
is where
for
we start
a second
to get...
too.
This
yeah.
is where we get the misdirect. This is where things get a little
like,
squidgy.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
You're like, hmm.
Yeah.
Because now we're missing
is
two
there
people.
Something happening?
And you,
yeah, yeah.
If, you,
yeah.
if you don't see any bodies,
yeah.
you don't know
they,
who's
yeah.
dead or a
yeah.
murderer.
And the ladies, yeah. The ladies reach the mine cart, and then all of a sudden,
Patty
the miner
impaled,
shows up.
Right? Yeah. And then Patty gets impaled.
Yeah. That's when Patty gets impaled. And you know what? I'll give her this as a diva. She took her time dying. Like, she's like, and she's like staring up, and then she holds on to it, and he's like trying to pull it out, which boss move.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make you slightly inconvenienced. I'm wasting 5 more seconds of your life.
it's a very Paul Rubens-esque death.
Oh yes.
He turns in there.
Yeah.
And then TJ shows back up, and he's got a little bit of blood on him, like he got bonked, and he Sarah starts asking some questions like, He's like, don't worry about it. I got knocked out. It's fine.
And then there's a mine cart chase, which I love, and that it's slowly moving up.
It's
and
so
then you've
slow.
Got TJ and Jessica, and then you have the miner kind of like pop, 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 because it's an awkward situation. You can't move smooth on something like that.
Yeah, no. So it's three people clumsily moving along a slow moving mining cart,
which I appreciate. I'm like, this is this is great. I love this.
It's so janky, and I love every bit of it.
Right, and then now...
And then the miner gets TJ off the cart, and then Jessica jumps off to, I guess, in support, because then there is a shovel versus pickaxe fight.
Yeah, and he just keeps yelling at her, where he's like, get back, and then they end up going into the old part of the mine that's been abandoned from 20 years ago.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That mine collapse.
And I think at a certain point, it looks like the miner's got TJ on the ground. Like, he's down there, and like, oh, no.
The ropes.
And then she...
But then,
she knocks the mask off.
Yeah, she knocks the mask, and bump, bump, bump. Okay, so I'm sorry, a surprise. You couldn't have figured out by anything I said previously. It was Axel.
It was Axel all along.
But how? Yeah. But why?
Yeah. Nothing he verbalizes. We see. I think TJ and Jessica are just watching him stare for a minute, right? Because he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, no, not a thing. Just the most pitiful look on his face.
Just kind of staring.
But we see the flashback. Turns out he was the child of one of those supervisors, and he was hiding under the bed, and he saw Harry Warden kill his dad and take his heart out. So, I think he's just angry. Plus, I'll be honest. I'll give you this. I think he's upset about Jessica and TJ. I don't think that is not included. I think he's upset about what happened to his dad, but he's also extra like, hey, but I stayed, baby.
Yeah, like, this
they don't mention that, but I feel like there's a tinge of that too, right? Like,
yeah, that, there's
he's
there's
in
a fair
heightened
piece of
situation.
Yeah.
But it's at that point, I believe, where the rest of the town finally shows, like the sheriff and the posse.
Yeah. Yep. They come running down.
They just got the whole gang there, all the miners, all the grown-ups who were at home.
Yep. Yeah. And
at home, relaxing.
Basically, they caused the mine to collapse again, but just where Axel is, and he has an arm sticking out.
No, it's because with the pickaxe, he's knocking everything down.
Oh, yeah,
he's swinging and he's like bringing down the...
That's on him. That's on him.
Yeah.
Literally
on him.
The worst, the slowest, just...
Yeah.
But yes, it is
and what
all
I love
on
is,
him.
For some reason, Jessica decides to go back. And he's got just his hand sticking out. So she reaches for it, like, I guess, as a final sign of, like, I'm sorry, it didn't work out or something. But she doesn't know that he's been hacking at his arm. So she pulls it back and she just has Axel's arm dangling.
Kind of bloody stump.
And then he maniacally crawling and laughing, calling out to Harry Warden. He's Axel's loose in the mines. Crazy. And maybe he would have come back if they made a sequel. Though, in all honesty, this was kind of before you were guaranteed a sequel. I think it's more than a legend. Like, I got the feeling the ending was more like it perpetuates. Like, this generation has its own Harry Warden.
And then we get the title of the movie. He kind
of
like cackles
the
and
ballad
says, Sarah, be
of
my...
Harry. Yeah,
well,
the
he says,
of Harry
like,
Warden.
Sarah, be my bloody Valentine.
Yeah, oh, that was good. You're right. I'm sorry. I forgot. Yeah. He said the title. DiCaprio point.
Yep. And then.
Then we get the Ballad of Harry Warden, which is
the raddest bootleg Gordon Lightfoot version of the Ballad of Harry Warden. Like, that has to be like a very specific Canadian genre because it is identically Gordon Lightfoot.
Well, I was, one of the things I was reading about this, I forget if it was an essay, and I love this person's feeling on it. They said, in many ways, this entire movie is like a murder ballad. It is a warning. It is a story that was, it was lore that was told and then is repeated again. So in a way, the Ballad of Harry Warden, it ends with a murder ballad. It's about a bad thing that happened, you know, and it's a bit of a warning and a bit of a telling the story. And I was like, oh, I like that. It's very folklore-y.
Yeah.
So I wish I could be like, yo, everybody, It's a murder ballad. I thought of that. Me, Megan. I did it. It was probably a YouTube video. as I wrote down my notes, I did not source it. You could probably just search up My Bloody Valentine murder ballad on YouTube, and you'll find the person who was smart enough to figure that out. But it's awesome.
That's a great read of that.
Yeah.
And that is My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
What a joy. I remember when the one in 2009 came out? Never watched it, though.
I've seen it. So it was made to be 3D, and you can tell, yes. Which is weird when you're watching it in 2D, because then it becomes goofy. It's very 90s.
And even though it's 2009?
It is. It feels very nice. And I think it's partly because it was digitally shot. So it's very, has that kind of flatness to it.
Okay.
But I feel like also it's 90s in that early 2000s is also not, you know, how like the 80s is also early 90s.
Yes.
But it does have
Jensen
one
Ackles.
Of the Supernatural boys in it. So.
Yeah. Jensen Ackles, J.B. Presley. Yeah. I was looking at the.
Oh, man. It's a who's who of 2009.
Yeah, and it's supposedly a sequel, which makes no sense. Because it's 20 years later, and Jensen is playing TJ, who comes back to town. And
there's an Axel in it. Yeah, it's they changed the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I'm not going to ruin it, but I'm going to be like, it does one of those tropey things where you're like, son of a fucking bitch, why'd I even bother watching this fucking film? There's some fun stuff in it. It's not the worst, but it does one of the worst choices for an ending that, like, I started swearing. I was like, oh, man, I was kind of with you, movie. Now I'm furious. And all you had to do was not do this. All you had to do was make any other choice, right? It's going to sound like, no, it is mid. I remember it being solidly mid. It does not have the charm of the original.
It doesn't even have that kind of.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like you're dealing with, like, working class folks. It doesn't have that additional level of, like, that already dead endness to it. Yeah. Like, oh, good. The town you're born in is the town you're going to die in. Just you didn't know as soon as this. So, yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it's. But Tom Atkins is in it.
Nice. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, but of course he's good.
He's always, when is he not?
Yeah, so that's pleasant. Again, it's not like the worst, but it makes a real unfortunate decision at the end, which kind of taints everything.
Which the movie you will have to tell me to once we stop recording. So,
yeah. Oh, I will. I will. Can't wait. Look at me. I'm holding it together.
I'm looking. I'm looking in the camera so that you know I'm making eye contact with you.
Thank you. Okay,
across from Rochester.
KP gave me strength to make it through to the end, everybody.
Yeah, this
Some
was a joy.
Real
this
unnerved
was my first
people
time.
On YouTube.
This was my first time watching this, and I was pleasantly surprised. So there's something about early slashers I think I really like, because Black Christmas is great.
Yeah. It's before they had... They had the pattern so figured out that they started cookie cuttering them.
Yeah.
This is all like, they're unique characters that I'm interested in. Like Black Christmas. I'm super interested in all those characters. Yeah. They're going through it.
Yeah.
She's talking to her boyfriend about an abortion. I'm like, holy shit, in a slasher?
Yeah.
Because she's living an entire life. This is just a thing that also happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
they're not
It's
the slasher is an
cool
additional
there.
Issue in my life. It's not the only one. It's just one other piece.
I have this man tap dancing on everyone of last of my nerves. But it's like real. It feels real. And so I appreciate you, Megan, for this suggestion for this one. My sweetheart will not watch this for Valentine's Day, but
fair enough.
Yes, but I enjoyed it for Valentine's Day.
It's also the best town sign in film history. It's up there with like Welcome to Denton in Rocky Horror, but this one maybe ahead because it's got a neon.
That's what got me. I was like, this little town has a neon sign coming in. Oh, this is amazing.
Valentine Bluff, the little heart, the little town with a big heart. Even its sign is kind of like, ha ha ha, you're all going to die in an interesting way. Congrats.
Yes.
thematic till the
sending
end.
Sending your
this
heart
town.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Hearts everywhere. Hearts in hearts. Hearts yes. in hot dog water. Surprise.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
I mean, that. I think that's the biggest takeaway we can take from this film is just don't eat boiled hot dogs.
Yeah, they deserve better. You deserve better.
You deserve.
Just fry them
And
up.
I'm someone who eats them off the rollers. Like, I will happily get a jalapeno cheddar dog. I'm like, ooh, it's in the back? How long has that been there? Oh, that's where the flavor is.
But no boiled hot dogs.
Oh, please, please. I have limits.
We need a horror movie that has a roller dog kill.
There's gotta be, right? Like, there's no way it doesn't exist.
Is it like, I always go back to that Fear Street bread slicer kill.
KP, that's amazing. I was just about to say the closest I could think of it was that bread slicer kill. That's an iconic kill, yo.
I can't think of anything else recently that tops that in my brain. Like,
oh my God.
Kill.
So we're going to, let's open it up to our friends and sickos out in our listening audience here. If you know of a roller dog kill, please let us know at Anomaly Film Fest. We need to know.
Or if you see us walking about the town, shout at me. Megan!
Hey, roller dog kill! And then you'll really freak us out.
Or we'll freak out everybody else and I'll just smile and go thumbs up. And then we'll have to go because someone's going to call the cops on us for 90% chance.
Yep.
Yeah. Legal proceedings will happen shortly after, for sure. So, yeah. Also, let's say this, because we have been doing a film festival for going on 8 years now, and we know a lot of filmmakers. If you are a filmmaker friend, Roller Dog Kill, that one's on us. You can have it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like at the end in the credits and acknowledgements, it just says, thank you, Anomaly, : hot dog roller kill.
From us.
I don't want to tell you how to do your art. I never want to tell somebody how to do their art. But roller dog kill.
Yeah, this is a good first one back,
this
everybody.
This mine cart better be returning to the top level here.
it's a long, slow journey, KP, but I think we're making it.
We're going to get there. So, this has been the Anomaly Presents podcast featuring My Bloody Valentine. It's our first back in 2026. We have so much more cool stuff coming for you this year. More podcasts, more movies, a whole ass film festival. Yeah. All new, all for you. Check out our socials at Anomaly Film Fest on all the good ones. I could list them, but I don't know them anymore. Blue Sky is maybe one of them. There's Instagram somewhere. I don't know. What do kids look at? I don't know. Orchid? I don't know. So, yeah, it's the film festival, November 11th through the 15th, I believe. Is that what we said at the beginning? Because that's what I'm going to say at the end.
Yes. Cool. I posted that on all the socials, so that is now what the dates are. If I messed up, it's too late. It's already been released. It is now the 11th to the 15th. So, sorry, Matt and Adam.
At the very least, Megan and I will be at the theater from November 11th to the 15th. If there are no films, we will just act something out for 4 straight days. It's going to be like Fringe Part 2. So, yeah, this has been the Anomaly Presents podcast for the Anomaly Film Festival, anomalyfilmfest.com. All sorts of good news about what's happening coming soon. Keep an eye on the socials. Keep an eye on the website. Keep an eye on each other. It's cold out. Watch some good movies.
Yeah.
And keep an eye out. We'll see you soon. Love you. Bye.
Bye.